Rosh Chodesh Kislev, Aleph Kislev, Friday the 13th of November, Rabbi Yaakov ben Zokain, Gevura, Avoda, and Tefillah.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to address you and to share with you some Torah. You were able to help me Mekayim and Mishmar last night almost, so I hope we can share the fruits of it. I was very, very caught in a Rashi, this week's Parsha, of something that we mention every Friday, every Matzah Shabbos, V'yiten lecha ha'elokim mital ha'shamayim u'shemanei ha'aretz. Rashi writes as follows. V'yiten lecha ha'elokim. Says Rashi, ulefi pshuta imusav leinan. Davar acher brings Rashi. Mahu ha'elokim. Why does it say V'yitel lecha ha'elokim? It should say V'yitel lecha Hashem. Why don't we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you with rachamim? Why should they use the shame of din? Im ra'ui lecha yitel lecha ve'im lav lo yitel lecha. If it's appropriate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give it to you. If it's not appropriate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not give it to you if you're not deserving. Aval le'esav amar, but Esav received a different bracha. What's Esav's bracha? Mishemanei ha'aretz yeh moshavecha, ben tzadik, ben rasha yitel lecha. Esav gets a different bracha. His bracha is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mishemanei ha'aretz yeh moshavecha, you'll be dwelling in places where there's going to be the fat of the land. Whether you deserve it, whether you're a tzadik or a rasha, you'll get. Now, let's understand, this is supposed to be the bracha, yeah? So it's a bracha. How is it a bracha to Yitzchak that his descendants will get the...
To Yaakov.
That he'll get bracha, that he'll get abundance only if he deserves. But when it comes to Esav, it's not if you deserve, you get no matter what. Mimenu lamad shloima. Shlomo HaMelech also learned from him, says Rashi. What did Shlomo HaMelech learn? He said, Kesheasa Abai Sider Tfiloso. When he built the Beis HaMikdash and he prepared his tefillah for Hashem as to what the Beis HaMikdash should accomplish and what should be its role, Yisrael Shehu Baal Emuna Umatzik Alavadin Lo Yikra Alecha Tagar. He says, when it comes to a Yid who comes and davens his Beis HaMikdash, you know, you can afford not to necessarily answer his tefillahs. But when it comes to a goy, if a goy comes and davens in the Beis HaMikdash, then you have to answer him. Aval nochri mechusar amana, they don't have enough faith, trust. Lefi chachamar ata tishma ha'shamayim ve'asita kechol ha'shayikra alecha ha'nochri. You should do everything that a nochri comes and davens and asks for, you should provide. So let's understand, how is it such a bracha that when it comes to a Yid, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should give only if a person deserves. So the way Rashi explains seems to be that really, it has to be a bracha which is unconditional, because otherwise they'll lose their faith. They'll say, you know, a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave a bracha to Esav, and if it's not fulfilling, then it must be that the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't exist, and we don't believe in Hashem, forget it. So therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu has to be mekayem the havtacha to Esav unconditionally. That's what Rashi seems to say. But perhaps we can learn a different pshat in this idea. The Torah in Sefer Dvarim presents a very interesting contrast between Eretz Yisrael and the land which is the antithesis of Eretz Yisrael. The land which is the antithesis of Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Mitzrayim. And the Torah contrasts the two. In Parshas Ekev we say, Ki ha'aretz asher ata v'shama lerishtah, the land that you are coming to inherit, lo ha'aretz Mitzrayim hi. It's not like the land of Mitzrayim who, asher yetzatem misham, that you left there, asher tizra et zar'acha v'ishkita beraglecha kegan hayar, that you plant the seeds and you can, with your feet, so to speak, you can irrigate it easily. The land that you are coming to inherit Eretz Harim uvka'ot yimtar hashamayim tishtemayim. It's a land of mountains, a land of valleys, and then it needs to soak up, it needs to irrigate itself, not by man, but rather by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, yimtar hashamayim, from the rain. The contrast here is as follows. When it comes to Eretz Mitzrayim, the water is going to be in the Nile, which is going to, the Nile Delta is going to provide the water almost unconditionally, and therefore, you'll just use the water and irrigate the land, and everything will be okay. And you basically have a guaranteed supply of water. But when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, you cannot depend on that water, you have to depend on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rabbi said, the bracha, this is, I want to present the idea that really the bracha is that we are dependent on our maisim for the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is a higher bracha. That we receive unconditional, if we were to receive unconditional shefa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that wouldn't be a bracha. Because we wouldn't develop that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to need it. We need to know that we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we need to know also that there's a feedback mechanism. If we are not performing the way we should, then we know the consequences. And that creates a relationship and builds a relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in is a land that gives us that opportunity and gives us that feedback mechanism. Now, the relationship between, I was thinking to myself, Avraham Avinu also got a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he passed on a bracha to Yitzchak, and Yaakov also gave brachas to his son, but somehow, the central theme of the parsha, which is the giving of the brachas, somehow it seems like Yitzchak is very much connected with the concept of bracha. And I was trying to think about the reason for this, and the connection that exists between this and the idea of tefillah. If you look at the Derech Hashem, fascinating, a beautiful piece when he describes tefillah, he starts off, and his first paragraph shows us a very powerful idea. Inyan ha-tefillah hu, ki hinem min ha-sidarim she-sidra ha-chokhma el-yoyna hu, among the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu ordained the world, Sheliyos hanivraim mekablim shefa mimenu yizbarach, in order for the creature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to receive shefa from him, yizbarach, very appropriately, tzarich sheyisoreru hem eila veizkarvu lo vivakshu fadav. It's a condition. Tefillah is a precondition for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to release the bracha that he has ready for us, that he wants to bestow on us. So bracha and tefillah are very much connected. Bracha is shefa. Bracha is abundance. In Hebrew, breicha means a pool. Yeah, but not a swimming pool. An irrigation pool. It overflows. Bracha means overflow. And therefore, the overflow is there. The potential for the overflow is there. But we need tefillah in order to bring about that overflow. And that's what Yitzchak Avinu represents. He represents tefillah and represents the ability to overflow. The truth is, in the parsha, we see Yitzchak Avinu as not just overflowing. Even the earlier, it's the one who's choifer the be'erus, the one who digs up the wells. Interesting enough, as the psukim tell us, the be'erus ashechaferu avdei aviv. These are not his. He doesn't dig too many of his own wells, but rather goes and works on the be'eros that Avraham Avinu had dug beforehand. We'll see, Mirza Hashem, perhaps the symbolism and the idea behind this. Yeah. I want to take us back to Bereishis. There's something very, very interesting that I discovered this year. I'm sure many of you already understand. Knew this, but in Sefer Bereishis, it struck me that when we speak about the creation of Adam, even when Adam Arishan is in Gan Eden, still HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him in Gan Eden le'ovda ul'shoimra. He put him in Gan Eden to work the land and to guard it. Now let's understand. After he eats from the Eitz Hadas, then he goes down from Madrega, and he's now going to eat Me'esev Hasadeh. He's going to eat now from the herbs, from the things that grow on the ground. Until then, Adam HaRishon was not only a vegetarian. Well, actually, the Midrashim say that Malachim brought him meat, but he didn't slaughter animals to eat. But not only that, he didn't eat vegetables. Ravina was a fruitarian, if such a word exists. He only ate fruits, right? It's only afterwards that he's given, and the Medrash says that Ravina complained to God's problem. What? You want me to eat from the same things that animals eat? Fruit is considered the food for humans in the time of Adam HaRishon, and vegetation, vegetables, etc., those were for animals. And if Bezeasapecha tochalechem, the curse of Adam HaRishon, that you have to work the land in order to make it produce, if that happened only after he ate from Eitz Hadas, then how is it that his task in the Gan Eden is le'ovda ul'shomra? What does it mean le'ovda? What does it mean to work the land? What does it mean to work the Gan Eden? So Rashi, it's a beautiful pshat. V'chol esev asadeh terem yitzmach ki lo himtir, Hashem says Rashi, ki lo himtir umataham lo himtir. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not bring upon rain yet? He says, all the vegetation was just waiting to sprout out of the surface of the earth. It was all held up until Adam HaRishon came. And what did he do? Says Rashi, "She'adam ain la'avoid es ha'adama." Adam is not around. He's not here to work the land. "Ve'ein makir betovasan shel geshamim." And he doesn't recognize, there's no one here to appreciate the goodness of Gesham. Uchsheba Adam v'yada shehem tzorich la'olam. When Adam HaRishon came into the picture, and he realized that there was a tzorich in the world for the rain, he spalel alehem v'yardu. Then he davened and they fell. V'tzamchu ha'ilanos v'adeshoim. And then everything sprouted and everything grew. I think Rashi is saying a beautiful pshat here. We are used to discussing tefillah as avoida and justifying why is tefillah called avoida. So we know avoida means work. So we say, because tefillah is also avoida, because avoida shebalev, our paradigm of avoida is physical work. That's what we consider to be the plain avoida. And then there's avoida shebalev, which is a specific thing, which is almost a parable for real avoida that we borrow. The truth of the matter is that it's the other way around. The truth of the matter is that the real avoida is tefillah. And that was the avoida. Avoida meant tefillah. When Adam HaRishon recognized the Toivas HaGeshamim and he davened for it, that was avoida. That was Lavodis HaAdamah. That's the real avoida. The real avoida is tefillah. Now we have a condition, a further condition, that we have to work, we have to do physical labor. And again, if we understand that is the Ramchal says that the Kadosh Baruch Hu has bracha, has shefa ready to give us. But the way he was mesader the world is that tefillah is a t'nai. Is it tonight to receive that shefa? So you know what? That's exactly what avoida is. Fulfilling conditions, going through the checklist of things that need to be done in order to release HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shefa into the world. And therefore, tefillah, that's the paradigm. That is the real avoida. And after the chet, then we have a different avoida, which is the physical labor. But it does exactly the same thing. Its purpose is to release the shefa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu releases the shefa by when we have to do our hishtadlus. And that's part of the hishtadlus, the physical work that we do. Another thing that I read something from a friend, Johnny Solomon, who's made Aliyah, lives in Eretz Yisrael now. He wrote something very beautiful. He asks a question. And the question is, we know that Amram Avinu and Sarah came from Aram Naharaim, wherever they were, to Eretz Yisrael. V'etanefesh asher asu becharan. They came along with a whole group of people. The nefesh asher asu becharan. Who is this nefesh asher asu becharan? The people that they quote-unquote converted to monotheism. So, the question that's asked is that we only hear about them at the very beginning when Avraham Avinu comes and they're following him. Somehow they disappear. We don't find that Yitzchak has these people that he's looking after. We don't see anywhere that Yitzchak Avinu had shiurim and he was somehow engaged in teaching and there's people who were under his hashpa. So what happened between Avraham and Yitzchak? So he quotes a Pardes Yosef. The Pardes Yosef says as follows. This is a very, very interesting and important nekuda, which I work on. Most of my days spent at the JLE, working with university students and with young professionals, and I'm working very much with people who are actually growing, and it's very, very hard. The process of growth is difficult, it takes wisdom, it takes time, and it takes effort. Now, we can almost, in some way, understand that the avodah of kiruv is a very sensitive and sometimes a dangerous avodah. Because sometimes people who do kiruv have very, very attractive and charismatic personalities. And at the beginning, the people who you are mashpia, who you're influencing, who you have contact with, are attracted to the personality of the mekarev. And they develop a relationship with the mekarev. But the problem is that if the relationship remains a relationship with the mekarev alone, and remains a relationship with the Torah of the mekarev only, then the person does not develop their own connection with Yiddishkeit. And then if the Mekarev somehow moves away from the picture, or something happens, then this person can no longer connect themselves because they don't feel that they have a place to connect, they have a way to connect. And we have discussed it at JLE numerous times, how it's so important that when we meet a Talmud, when we have a Talmud, we don't become possessive. And actually, it's in the benefit of the Kiruv to expose the Talmud to so many other people, because that way their connection becomes multifaceted. They understand or they experience Yiddishkeit from many, many different flavors, quote-unquote, and approaches and midos. And the relationship becomes a relationship eventually that should be a relationship with Torah. I also try and make an effort, especially down the line, to really teach people not my chiddush, to teach them the Torah's chiddush. That they should learn Torah. They shouldn't learn my pshat. They should learn what Torah actually says, what Chazal say. Not my take on it. Not my personal view. So he says that perhaps these people who nefesh asher asu becharam, that Avram and Yisrael were megayer to monotheism, those people developed a relationship with Avraham and Sarah, and they only knew that Yiddish, they only knew that monotheism, they only had that kesher, they didn't have any other kesher. And therefore, once Avraham and Sarah were out of the picture and Yitzchak took over, Yitzchak was a completely different Rebbe. Completely different avodas in his service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wasn't chesed, he was gvura. His style was so different, they almost couldn't recognize it. And therefore, they faded away. Because that's not the Yiddishkeit they were exposed to. By the way, there's a very powerful question. A couple of years ago, I think I found it, at least Beremez in Torah Avraham addresses this question. You have Avraham Avinu, who runs out to greet these three travelers. Rashi tells us that Vaikach ben Bakar Rach Vatoiv, he took three animals, he slaughtered three agalim, and he gave each one of them Leshainos Becharda. He gave them a tongue with mustard. Right? Now, remember, we're talking about, it says it was Pesach, so we're talking about April in Eretz Yisrael. What exactly do you do with three animals after you slaughter them in the middle of the summer? What do you do with the rest of the meat?
In the freezer.
In the freezer, exactly. What do you do with the rest of the meat? So maybe they had a tongue avadim and they gave the avadim. But tell me, I have in my fridge a few veal chops or lamb chops, and then somebody comes for tzedakah, whatever it is, I bring it to my house, and I was planning to have that for supper. Do I have a chiv to give him that for supper? Because it's the best thing I have in my fridge. Is that the normal way to do chesed? I'm supposed to give the best of the best to any stranger that comes through my house? It seems like even at the expense of a tashkis of some sort. Avraham Avinu wasn't just a regular person doing chesed. Avraham Avinu is the embodiment of chesed. Avraham Avinu is the midah of chesed in a person. What does chesed demand? Chesed demands you give as much as you can, qualitatively and quantitatively. That's what chesed demands. And therefore, when Avraham Avinu's life is a life of exercise, of living out the midah of chesed. And therefore, it's true that for you and I, perhaps, we live, our lives is balanced life between chesed, gvur, etc. We're supposed to live balanced lives. Avraham Avinu wasn't necessarily as balanced. Avraham Avinu was, chesed was so much at the forefront. Chesed motivated and ruled everything Avraham Avinu did. And therefore, midas ha-chesed says, yes, give the best you have available. That's what midas ha-chesed says. And Yitzchak was midas ha-gvura. So I want to suggest a slightly different shot than the Pardes Yosef. It's not only a problem or an issue that he was a different Rebbe. Because after all, I would imagine that Avraham Avinu and Sarah would try and expose them and teach them that Avodas Hashem is not just through chesed. And that somehow they would be trying to integrate them into Yitzchak's mahalach. But perhaps what we need to understand is as follows. A Yiddishkeit of chesed is a Yiddishkeit. You can sell chesed very easily. I work on campus, and if I run a program, and the program is social action, yeah, I'll have a lot of people coming into the program. If I give them chesed and allow them to do chesed, a lot of people will come. Chesed is a very, very intuitive thing. And it's much easier than gvura. Gvura is setting limitations. Gvura is stopping. Gvura is the los ases. Gvura is the part of Torah which disciplines us, which stops us from doing things, which creates which creates boundaries around our life and restrictions to some degree. The people that were brought into Tachas Kanfei Hashchina by Avram and Sarah were experiencing the forefront was chesed. You know what? You can bring a lot of people, you can be mekarev of a lot of people with chesed. But when you start teaching them gvura, then I don't know how many would be left in the room. Gvura is a hard thing. Gvura is difficult to teach. Gvura is very difficult to integrate into one's life. And by the way, in our experience in Kiruv, it is the people who have a natural tendency and netiya to be structured, to have discipline in their lives that are the easiest to go on a path to become from it. Because they don't have to fight the battle of integrating gvura into their lives. Halacha requires, a Jewish life requires, halacha requires gvura. And for somebody who's used to not having boundaries and not having limitations in their lives in general, to go into a system that gives us such a context within which to work and out of which we cannot. So it's very, very hard. That takes a really, really difficult change of frame of mind and approach to life. And that's very, very difficult for many people. And therefore, Gvura is a tremendous challenge. So I would like to suggest that Avraham Avinu and Sarah tried their best. But it wasn't their fault at all. It was just that Chesed was much more easily sellable, and people were willing to do great things for Chesed. They were even willing to leave their hometown. We're going to Uganda. We're going to Africa to do Chesed. People go. It's fine. But go somewhere for Gvura, that's much, much harder. And therefore, that was perhaps one of the reasons why it was very challenging. I want to just share with you a halacha. Usually I speak of a halacha. So I want to share with you an interesting halacha I heard a couple of weeks ago. Pay attention closely because it's a very slight nuance. The Gemara tells us that when it comes to lotakif peas roshecha, by the peyos and shaving, the Gemara says that there's really two chiyuvim. There's two liabilities. Echad hamakif ve'echad hanikaf. It's the person who shaves and the person who has his face shaved. They're both chayav. The Gemara says, one second, how can you have a chiyuv? And the Gemara says, you get malchus for each one of the sides. It says, how can you have, and you can even get two malchus if a person is a makif and a nikaf himself. Yeah? If you shave yourself, you get twice malchus. So the Gemara, how else do you have nikaf and get malchus? There's no maise. How is it a maise? He says, no, the maise is when you bring yourself closer to be shaved. That's also a maise. And you'll be higher for that and you can get malchus. If a person shaves another yid, the truth of the matter is he transgresses two isurim. Echad hamakif, to do the shaving, and the lifne'iver of making the other person be chayav and nikaf. So I'm transgressing the isur of makif, of lotakif, and I'm also transgressing the lifne'iver that the other person is a nikaf. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks a kasha. In Shulchan Aruch, he asks the question, what happens with women? Yeah? Women don't have a chiyuv of peah. They could shave. They're peahs. Not an iser. They're not bichlal de chiyuv. The Mike said they're not bichlal de chiyuv of makif, and also not bichlal de chiyuv of nikaf. Technically speaking, lifneiver, we'll get to it. So there is no iser of makif by a woman, because the same iser is for nikaf and makif, and you're not bichlal one, you're not bichlal the other. So therefore they exclude it from the iser of makif. But if they were to be makif a man, then they would be transgressing the iser midin lifnei iver. What if there was a person who was about to shave themselves, a man, who was about to shave themselves with a razor? And a woman is offering, please, let me do it. Let me do it. He's going to shave anyhow. No question. Is she over lifne iver? She is now saving this person so that this person, instead of being over two averus, echad amakif ve'echad anikaf, he's only going to be transgressing nikaf. Yeah, but she's making him... Yeah, but is it lifnei iver? If somebody in the literal case of lifnei iver, what would happen if there's a blind person, he's walking, and there's a michshal in front, and I take a smaller michshal, and I displace the bigger michshal with a smaller michshal? Am I over lifnei iver?
It's still a michshal.
But there was a michshel before. I diminish the michshel. I make the michshel less. Is that lifnei iver l'tida mishal? Am I over lifnei iver? Meaning, is lifnei iver looked at as what? I put it there. I displaced it. I put a lesser mishal there.
Huh? You better give the big one there.
Why?
You've done nothing. You didn't put the big one there. You put the small one there.
Right.
You've done nothing here.
That's right. But if the lifnei iver is, if the idea of lifnei iver is, that's right. But the problem of lifnei iver is that as a result of my action, this person is going to stumble. This person was going to stumble anyhow. As a result of my action, he'll stumble less. If I cause a person to stumble less, you're going to call me a person who's treated mitzvah, who's not next to mitzvah?
I'm better leave the big one, man. I'm better off leaving the big mitzvah.
I don't think you're better off leaving. So Rabbi Akiva Iger writes that this woman, by taking the place of the man and shaving him, may not be over even if leaver. Because she's actually saving him from an iser of makif. That's really what she's doing. It's true that he's a nikaf as with her assistance, but lemaise, he would have been a nikaf no matter what. And she's saving him from being a makif and a nikaf. And therefore, that could be that there is no iser of lifnei iver in such a situation. Which means that when you look at lifnei iver, you don't necessarily... According to this, you wouldn't necessarily look at the very specific thing that the person is doing, but rather you take a bigger look at the matzav and you realize, am I actually making his situation better? Am I helping this person? Am I assisting this person? Or am I making his situation harder, more difficult? And that's a way to perhaps to look at it. Have a good Shabbos.